Praise the Lord. Once again, we are welcome to today's service. It's time to preach, as they say, to hear the word of God. We'll be looking at, for the next month, Psalm 71. I would like our younger ones to come in and take their seat. Because in this psalm, just like you must have heard, there's a lot of generational play in it. Mentions of youth, old age, you know. There is something for everyone in this psalm. Let us start 71, Psalm, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Trust. Sometimes, some of the things we say, we just take them lightly. Especially, maybe we cannot see the weight of it because we are only looking at it from our view. I will encourage every one of us, even as we see these words, as the Bible has told us many times, these are the very words of God. And therefore, we must try to look at each word from the view of God. Not from the view of man, but try to look at it from the view of God as we have come to perceive who God is and why he's making these statements. That's on one side. The other side also, there are certain things in this psalm that when we read, we come there, we know, like Jesus said, all scriptures speaks about what? About him. You see some parts there you can directly tie to the messianic work of Jesus Christ. We'll get there. You clearly see that this is not talking about man. As Peter will say, David said, the Lord let me, you not let my body to see corruption. And immediately Peter points, that David you are talking about, didn't he die? So, you need to, when you are reading the psalm, you need to know first that it is talking about Christ. It's easier to read it and say, oh, it's talking about me. It's talking about my present condition, you know. And we have, you know, denominations that carry these psalms like weapons of warfare. And truly they are, but not in the sense that we think, you know, if it's not from God's view, it doesn't make sense. Then how does it apply directly to us? This is the spirit of Christ being talked about here. And what we know and what we come to believe is that because of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, his spirit has been poured to us. So the very things this psalm is writing concerning the spirit of Christ, because we carry that spirit of Christ, they apply to us in degrees, but it is the same thing. While we will point directly to Christ in the ultimate, but as children of Christ, we also carry the implications of the scriptures and particularly the Psalms we are reading here. So young one, when you read this, it's talking about Jesus, but you have the spirit of Christ in you. So it's also affecting you. So when this writer writes, it's like a prophecy. We'll look at it from Christ's view, then we see how it applies to us in our present state. And certain questions should jolt us, especially when we try to figure out how does this apply to our present time. Our topic today, I mean, the refuge, the Lord our refuge and our what? Safety. Amen. Given what is happening to Nigeria now, I mean, if refuge, safety, this is the one I want to hear, because a lot of challenges are going on. Amen? Young ones, am I getting your attention? So let me start with a very particular word. Right. Right. R-I-G-H-T. Right. How is something right? Why is this, putting this chair, putting this pen here, why is it right or why is it wrong? Why is something right? You say, oh, I serve a righteous God. Righteous. Why do we describe God that way? These are the basics for which we must understand when we want to understand what we do as Christians. Why is God righteous? Why is something right? Why is something wrong? The only reason anything is right is because God said so. God is the absolute reference. That's why anything we do, if God has said it, when God says something that determines him, he has committed to it and he said it. That thing he said is what? Is right. Is right. God has said it. It is right. So we say God is a righteous God. God is a God that goes about saying things that he has determined that he will do. Right, right, right. God is therefore what? Righteous. That's what it means. It's an adjective. The God that goes about talking right. He's righteous. That's how you should see it. Oh, nothing. Don't take it too far. Because the God that goes about saying things, God is always talking. He's always saying things. But everything he says, he has determined that that is what he's going to do. So it's the God that goes about doing right. Hence, we say our God is what? Righteous God. So if you want to talk about God, you say, what has God said concerning this matter? So a man that goes about looking for the right of God is therefore called what? A what? A righteous man. That is what he determines for himself. Every issue. I won't go school, oh, I won't buy dress, oh, I won't go tomorrow. I won't travel, go US, oh, I want to leave for Lagos, oh, I'll be waiting as day again. Everything that has to do with us living this life, God has an opinion. More, God has a right. He has spoken something concerning it. Yes, sir. Look at what we learned in doctrinal class. We're talking about judgment. On what basis is judgment? Can anybody tell me? On what? On right. If God has not said, how can I judge? Everything stands from that statement, that point, that God has spoken. God has said right. The next thing I want us to look at, some may not agree, but I've come to see it, and technically I can prove it. When God now acts, he can't act any other way but on what he has said, right? That term is holiness. It's holiness. It's not a big thing. It's one thing to say one thing, right? And you say a lot about many things. The things you will do, your thoughts, the intent, and the consequence, everything that has to do about every matter, God has spoken. It's one thing to speak. It's another thing to now what? Do those things you have spoken. And nothing more, nothing less. Exactly as you have spoken it. That is holiness. That is what? Holiness. Nothing extra from my right. Nothing extra from my righteousness. Nothing more, nothing less. As I have spoken it, when I begin to act upon it, that is holiness. So, you now ask yourself two things. Since God always speaks right. Anything he says is right. And when he acts, he limits himself to those things he has spoken concerning everything that is now holiness. That character of God, is it something I trust? Is it reliable? Some of us, especially our ladies, when they go out, you see the shoe they want to wear, they carry, that was the first one. Then some of them, you see, they carry bag. Inside that bag, you now see what? Another pair of shoes. Something is happening now. We are looking at reliability problem, trust issues. Abi, hey, it's fine, but in their inner mind, this thing feel fame you. So they go and put reliability, they bring another one. It may not be fine, but they know that one, this one will go fame me. This is my slippers, I trust them. But God is not like that. God does not have reliability issues. When you trust God, whichever character of God you are trusting, he will act in that way. You can trust God to act in his right. God is holy. Holiness means he will act in his right. The right is there, but when God acts, that holiness, he cannot deviate from the right. The question for you and I, is this something I want? Is this something I want to depend on? Is this something I want? So most of the time when we pray in church, we don't ask us the basic thing. We call on God, oh, fire, hey. Okay. When God acts now, we get confused. But you are the one that is calling God's right now. You are the one saying, oh, God, righteous God. You are just calling things as you like. You don't even know what you are saying. You don't even know the implications. Eh? When he now acts now, you will shout. But he never acted out of order. He has said it beforehand. God gives expo. He gives the expo beforehand. Adam and Eve was the same thing. He started there. He told them what he was. Did he hide it? He told them he's right. Eh? He told them he's right. Don't eat of this fruit. Right, number one. The day you eat of it, you will what? You will die. Another right. Abi? He has said his right. He kept to himself, Abi. And they went about with other rights he has written before. Living, multiplying, doing everything. All these are rights of God. Inside that right, he also tells you what he will do when you run foul of his right again. It's even a right. Nothing is all about God's right. So, when they sinned, so a holy God, we do what? We act. But at the point he is acting, he will check. What have I said concerning this matter? Okay. I told them not to eat this fruit. They ate it. Therefore, they will what? They will die. I wrote this, so I said it too. So, now I want to act. What happens? What do you expect a holy God to do? Not because he is bad or good as we think, but he has written it and is bound to it. What should he do if he's holy? You can see where God does not respect persons. It's right there. It's not sentiments. He has determined it of himself and cannot do outside that. Another lovely right God has also written is his right to show mercy. It's also his right. You can't tell him not to show mercy. is also is right. How will we show the mercy he has left to himself is also a right. So when you see sometimes all the Bible authors, they just tell you that they know all the rights of God, oh, they know this God they judge, oh, they know there's a right for judgment, there's a right for this, there's a right for that. Ah, there's no way to escape this God because he has the right for everything. Ah, oh God, I just follow your mercy. I don't know anything again, no. Show you just the right of mercy. You just be shouting the right of mercy. But the right of mercy does not preclude the other what? Rights. So there are so many rights. Only God knows how through those rights to deliver his children to safety and to deliver the wicked to where? To hell. Everything through those rights. Hence we say God is a wise God. So the question still comes, do you trust in God's holiness? Do you trust in God's ability to do right? One, do you now want those rights, which includes a lot of things, including judgment, oh, is there? Oh? Do you want the judgment? Do you want the mercy? Do you want it? Have you come to understand it? Such that now you will, I trust God will not fail because I understand his right, his holiness is what I want. You can't have it half-half. So, those who desire to circumvent God's right, Bible has a word for that, circumventing. You haven't done it, you just in your heart, you always want to take shortcuts. You can eat your cake after it has gone down. You now want to bring it back and eat it again. Circumventing. God has a word for that. That is called iniquity. An instance of iniquity. When it manifests itself, it's called sin. But you have a desire first to circumvent the right of God. He also calls them the wicked. Those who want to achieve outside the right of God goes about circumventing the will of God. God calls them the what? The wicked. From God's perspective, I am not called, ah, you're a wicked man. No, it doesn't make any sense. But when God calls you the wicked, you should know what he means. And when God calls you the righteous, you should know when God is calling you that. It's God's perspective, not mine. So when you see the psalmist, as we say, talking, let's take it from Jesus' level now. If Jesus says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Jesus is in a condition. The challenges have started slapping him. Right? We'll see some of these that will reflect it. Started slapping him. The challenges of coming into this physical man world. Every second, wanting to force him not to do what? The right. Where will he put his trust? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Confusion. Let's turn to Isaiah 30. We read 1-3. Isaiah 30:1-3. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not from me. Hey, Lord Jesus. How many of us fall into this category? They are rebellious because they don't take counsel from God. Why? God has rights. for everything. But these ones thought it fit not to bother God, not to ask God's opinion, not to seek God's right concerning their situation. And what did God say? As is right also. Woe to the what? Rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my what? Of my spirit. Last one. That they may add what? Sin to what? Sin. He didn't miss it. Anything you do that is not of him, oh, it is what? Sin. Whatever you go to rely on, as we like to say, arm of flesh, we fear me, everything. Basically, you are seeking counsel not from God. You are rebellious. You are saying you can circumvent all the rights that God has put out. You want to chase your own. Not a problem. God also put a right. That right is what? Woe, punishment, curses, everything bad. It's like we are little, but from our own side, it's like God is telling you, he is the one that has the expo, he is the one that has made it, and he's telling you, woe, woe, if you decide not to take what happened, woe, and he will not, it's not like he's sentimental. Baba, 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 woe. Didn't you see my right? Yeah, I said it. Woe. There is a consequence. They seek covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. There's nothing else you do outside God. It's sin. Forget it. Outside is covering, that is by his spirit. Forget it. Two, that walk to go down into what? Egypt. And I've not asked at my mouth. You see prayer there. Oh. Don't have to tell you. You can see. The only way you... This is prayer. You are rebellious. Every issue in this life, God has a right. The righteous, we seek it for their safety. That is, you come to see it. Because the war is there. The woe is not devil coming to give you woe. Oh, devil is killing you. No, it's right. God has put the right there. Whether it's devil that do it, so long as what has happened, you have gone against his right, the woe will come. Rather, we are always concerned about the person actioning the woe. Always preaching the wrong things. Why not just focus on the right? Focus on the right. Seek the right. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. Why are they going to Egypt? To strengthen themselves in the strength of what? Pharaoh. Arm of flesh. We have issues. Nobody is doubting it. But have you gone to God? Do you trust God enough to say, this God, I know when he acts, he will act in his right, in his holiness. But many of us don't want that holiness acting. Ah, this God, he too sabi. I know this matter, God, just leave the matter. I don't want it. But for some of us that God has called, that God has chosen, sometimes... It's also his right to tie to his mercy and his grace. He will overrule us. He has chosen you. He will get you to that promised land. He will overrule your naughtiness. Not for everybody. It's still his right to say he will show mercy on him who will show mercy. But that mercy, judgment, everything is under his what? His right. Let's look at a case in point. To explain this scenario, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 48. We want to look at a little young man. Well, at this time, he was no longer young. Sorry. He was no longer young. Genesis 48, 13 to 20. And Joseph took them, both Ephraim in his right hand, towards Israel's left hand. Israel is Jacob, right? And he's about to pass away. If you know this story very well, he has found the son Joseph, right? And a lot of things have passed on. Joseph missed out on a lot of things. So in trying to repay, as part of things we're learning today, restitution, you know, all these things, Joseph came towards the final time of Jacob's time. And he brought his children, you know. And Joseph took them, both Ephraim in his right hand, towards Israel's left. So, Jacob was sitting down, right? Can you see? Then, Joseph, in his mind, has thought, this is, just put yourself in this case, oh, you have decided for yourself what is right. Ah, okay. As a father, my strength, my energy. Firstborn. Then second born. Right hand. Left hand. So he put who on his left? He put Manasseh, the firstborn, his own firstborn, on his what? On his left hand. So that the Baba that cannot, maybe he cannot see again, or I don't know, whatever. But that is his desire. He wanted the right hand blessing on his firstborn. Nothing spoil. Children of God, you have desires, you have need. Do as you. But those way they seek God right, then go take them slow, slow. But Joseph gave, that is what he attempted to do. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, towards Israel's left hand. And Manasseh in his left hand, towards Israel's what? Right hand. And brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. It does scatter. Set it does scatter. But Joseph did not say anything at this point. He didn't. He was watching the father. Right? And Israel stretched out his right hand and put it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger. This is the God we are dealing with. You need to open your heart to let God deal with you as he will. Because he has rights. The right of God is not clear here now, but I will show you where this right is clear. You might think this is injustice in human eye, but you will see what God will say concerning this issue. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. He was not making mistake. He knew what he was doing. For Manasseh was the what? Firstborn. That was now Joseph's desire. It's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me. Look at what we are learning today in the psalm. This is Jacob saying the same thing. What he has trusted, whom he has given all his hope to. He is in the front of people now doing what seemingly is a wrong thing. But he's telling you the God whom he has served. He's not doing this thing by mistake. To the world, he might be, ah, Baba, Ikiloshie, this is my ayemio. That's how we exclaim and think that God is God is not, God wants to allow a calamity to happen. I'm seeing it. God is not moving. Which God is this? But look at the premise from which Jacob spoke. And he quoted the premise. Everything there. God before whom my fathers. God has not failed Abraham. I have known him. I have known him to trust. To trust what? In his holiness. In his right. It's not today. I didn't start it. There is pedigree. My father Abraham, Isaac did walk. The God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Fido. God fed him. This man that suffered and ran from Goshen to this place. Is he saying that God fed him? Did he not go through challenges when... What is it Nana is saying God is... Look at what this man is saying. No? You can say, you that was slave inside this place, you are saying God fed you. How did he feed you? This is human judgment. But look at what the man that went through it is saying with his own mouth. God fed me. Did you think his children didn't die in Egypt? Didn't many of them pass away? Didn't they go through pain? Lack? They went through all that. And yet this man here is saying what? God fed him. These things are bigger than what we think. So, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them and the name of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And Joseph saw, and when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it what? It displeased him. That was not. Hey, when would they say God intervene? When God begin act now, go see say now with the verse. God, not be so you for Duan now. Is it now your right or God's right? That is where the saved children of God must be. Is it now my right or God's right? Look at it there. It displeased him. Baba, how can you? I go carry you go back to Egypt if you don't watch yourself. You know, some of us go to that length when we, you know. When displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to tell you how he actually wanted to take the first. Marco Jamio Lubala, this is my firstborn. Now don't do like this. Like all of us that tie ourselves to all these things. He physically, he displeased him and held up his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, Baba. You know what I'm saying? Not so. You are making a mistake. God, no. I don't want it this way. We need to carry arms and go on Facebook or Haram and pieces then. Is God sleeping? Where is your trust now? Are you seeking the right of God concerning all that is happening in Nigeria? Are you seeking the right? Are you calling God? Because now I trust that God will act in holiness. And holiness means he's acting on his right. Not yours. Not your desires. Not what you think. His expected end for you, not your own expected end for yourself, which is what Joseph is doing here. Joseph has an expected end for the firstborn. His representation, everything is in the firstborn, as it was their cultural practice. It's not to say the guy, they do mistake. Oh. If they tell you, say, see your firstborn. Even today, our families that maybe the firstborn is not, say, hey, we need to pray. Oh. Our firstborn is not showing. He doesn't have money. Maybe it's the lastborn that has all the money. Some firstborn feel so miserable. Their voice just quiet in their houses because they feel and they firstborn now. Now me they spend all this money for and yet no show. The man always struggle inside. By the time he reached his door, no money to go to school. Now that one can't shine for life. You cannot determine God's right. So we need to look beyond all these issues that make us think God is acting anyhow. There are real issues. But all of us are tied to these things because it's what we can see. This is what Joseph saw. He attempted to remove the father's hand. Say, not so. You want to spoil my destiny? Joseph, your destiny. Yes, that's what my firstborn is my destiny. You want to spoil it? You don't want to bless it? Not so, Father. For this is the firstborn. And because firstborn has implications. It has implications. It's not joke, this thing that is happening. But this is firstborn, you. Not firstborn. Let me not leak it. We'll see it now. This same issue. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused. This is when God, because he loves you. Because he loves you, regardless what you are going through, your sentiment. Do you expect God now to act out of his right? That is the problem. We now say, because I'm going through the most dread. Will God now act out of his right? Shebi the psalmist, when we read it, he said, you have shown me sore. You have punished me. You have beaten me. This is the same Jesus telling God, though. He didn't deny the challenges. But after that side, what did he say? He said, but you are the one that what? Brought me up from the earth. What are we saying? Will God look us to die and die away and go to hell? If you are the child of God, as you claim, would you not trust him to still act in his right that includes his mercies, his graces? Eh? You're only pointing at the times that it is good, good, good. Hey, Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah? Thanksgiving. December. I don't reach December. Go see reach June now. August, prayer. December, Thanksgiving. But when he deals with you with daily living, trust issues, we don't want it. We want the end without walking through. Shebi said, my fathers walked with God. We don't want that walk. We just want Canaan, bam, reach there. We want heaven, bam. Heaven will not take you the way you are. There must be some transformation. There must be some proof that you understand the God in whose kingdom you are going into. This is how it's shown. And the father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know what I am doing. Look at it. I know it, my son. I know. Don't think old age has deceived my eye, my brain. I don't have Alzheimer's. I know what I am doing. I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be what? Greater than he. That's the truth. That's God's right. You don't have to be angry with God. It's just God's right. This is yet before these two boys have done anything, you know? God also did it with Jacob himself. His experience now, he knows. So a man that has that experience, then this God, I know I'm old. Now so he do. He knows. But that's nothing to do whether God is for you to get angry with God or not angry with God. It's just his right. But you know, because he's acting his right, it is good for you. It is your safety. It is your refuge. And he blessed them, 20, and he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall all Israel be blessed, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh, and set Ephraim before what? Manasseh. Please close, Abby. Let's turn to Jeremiah 39. Just that part, so that we see Jeremiah 13:9. Thus said the Lord, after this manner will I, my Bible here says, mar the pride of Judah and the pride of Jerusalem. Did I say Jeremiah? Sorry, not 13. 31, 9. Don't mind me, oh. Jeremiah 31, 9. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. And I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel. And what? Ephraim is what? Opario. So what, if you thought what Joseph was doing, he wasn't God, you have deceived yourself. This is God himself talking. Ephraim is my what? God's right. God's right. The issue is, are you seeking God's right? Because there is a right of God for everything. If you are the righteous, that is what it means to be righteous. The man that is always seeking the right of God, desiring it, and trusting in God that in his holiness, he will act. But let's conclude that. Let's go to our Isaiah, because I like using scriptures to finish scriptures. We're to read Isaiah 30, 1 to 3. Now, the third part, verse 3 of Isaiah 30. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your what? Shame. So if you rely on the world's mechanism, right? In terms of getting to heaven, because this is getting to heaven, messianic. Even in our daily lives, everything we do is heading towards heaven. It has impact. And God has a right, because he's taking us through the walk to heaven. He says, if you rely on any means, not his, Pharaoh for generic purposes, that means shall be your what? Your shame. This shame is very technical. Hold that to that shame. And the trust, which we are talking now, the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your what? Read it in 2 James. Your what? Confusion. You know it to be confusion. I promise you 10 bay they that place. You believe me, say 10 bay they there. Then I saw you, bada, no tell anybody. Now you go there, go look for 10 bay. As you open the bag, eh? Kire. This man, as you are shocked like this, confusion. That's exactly what it is. When that which you have relied on, you know, go fame me. That bros way day, NNPC, you don't promise me job now. Now there you go, no say second batch, third batch day, make you the wait. you will be shocked. That is what God is saying here. The shadow, and look at the word shadow, it's not real. Promise of the world, allure. By the time your eye is clear from that allure, mirage, you know mirage, where you drive those days, no mirage again for Lagos now. Our climate don't change everything. Can be on express before you could see mirage for front. Maybe car don't play too much, I don't know. Those days when we were younger, I used to use pole. By the time I get there, this water is, meanwhile, a child, So my parents, of course, they don't know. I'm just investigating. There's water. There's water. No water. Mirage. Confusion. How did this water disappear now? That is what God is saying to those who rely on anything else apart from him. Confusion. What you expected, disappointment. It won't happen. How many times have we marshaled people to go and collect people, kidnappers? Or we are saying Nigeria go better. These are not the issues. The issues is that God has promised to save you. You shouldn't lose sight of that. That is a right for his children, as we come to see also in this psalm. He has given commandment to save. That is his right. Confusion.
Back to our psalm.
That is the safety. The refuge is in God. Trusting in God. If you don't trust in God's holiness to act in his righteousness, confusion is what happens. That is, you trust anything else, and at the end, they will only bring confusion. You will not know whether you are serving God or not. But the premise was that you should have trusted and known his right, sought his right, so that as things are happening, you can see it in his right. And even if you cannot see in his right, prayer, find out. Get a settlement, a peace by the Spirit of God that God gives you in his heart concerning his right. But that prayer is his right, though. You must seek the right. It's not prayer like this. Funny people that wanted to go to Egypt, though. It must be his right. Not what you think or what you desire. If your desire can get up to the point where your desire is after God's right, then that is the Spirit of Christ. Not my will be done. Abi? Is that not what Christ prayed? That is a point Christ got to. That his desire was after the right of God. Nothing more. He expressed his own, but ultimately, it is God's will that must be what? Must be done. When you get to that point, which we all should get, it's not that there is no pain. Look at the Christ. They slapped him now. Abi? But he believed in the right that God has said. He knew God, that God has said a lot of things. The challenges will come. He has taken me through them. Also, God said he will save. His mercy is also in that right. His grace is in that right. The challenges he will take you through are also in that right. But we want the grace. We don't want the challenges. Praise the Lord. That is where the safety is. Oh, it's not in anywhere else. But in our trust in God for his right to be done in all things and at all times. Our Psalm 71 and verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Let me never be put to what? Confusion. So we understand this, right? No confusion. My trust is in God. Let me never. Deliver me in what? Read it. Is this Joseph's case? Joseph went to Jacob with what? With his own right. But look at the psalmist. He's reversing it. What did he say? Deliver me in what? Your own. Your own righteousness, not my own. Is this our case? Have we gotten to that point where we will ask, not asking for deliverance is not a problem. But how? Is it according to how I came? No. In thy what? In thy righteousness. As God has specified, as God has said, I trust in God. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to what? To escape. To escape. Deliver. Escape. In thy righteousness, I will not be saved any other way but according to thy righteousness. These things are simple as written, but heavy when you ponder upon it. And yes, I wanted to read the whole of Daniel 9. Eh? I will encourage us, go and read Daniel 9 to the end. So that you see how God specified through Moses. The day you do this, this will happen. The day you do this, this will also happen. Abi? Moses said it centuries ago before they entered Canaan. Then they started misbehaving. All of you think that God does not keep record. Nalayo. When the time came, they entered Babylon. Abi? God's right. But when God also was telling Moses to tell them, he also made a right for their deliverance. The same right. But he took, as he wrote the right, for one gentleman called Daniel, to now look at what somebody, one prophet called Jeremiah. Say, I understood. This right of God is in this Bible. If you don't read it, go they look like Luke Ozedo. God go they look you. You say, go and read, go and learn. Said, I understood. Oh, you understand what? That God said, by the time 70 years pass, you start praying for this issue, God will answer. Prayer was not amiss. It was according to how God has put the right, that their deliverance should be in his right of prayer. And what happened when Daniel started obeying the right, as he has come to understand it? What started happening? The angels came. In fact, when the angels, please read that, Daniel. When the angels came, the angels not only gave Daniel a present revelation, the angel opened 70 weeks. Ah, kiddie. Bros, now let to come out for this idea. Which one will be this? 70 weeks. Read it very well. God revealed his right for the whole to the end to Daniel. And in it, the time the Messiah will come. Abi? The time all of us are now, hey, Boko Haram, everywhere, is there. And the final salvation is also there. I'm saying this so that we can use it to balance our expectations when we are seeking for safety. The safety itself is in his promises, it's in his word. And you have to believe that he has holiness, that is a determination to carry every single one of them out without fail, including your safety and your deliverance. In heaven, when it comes to this world, does it mean I should not pray for it? No. I will tell you where that one is by the time we continue next week. Well, let me give you a teaser. Yes, go and crack your brain in this teaser. Next week, I will ask for this teaser. They say we should pray with that season. Is scripture telling a lie? So, what is pray with that season now? Because me, I know, say, if you tell me one issue today, I pray. I stop. I never cease. If I like, make a fast 40 days. At the end, I go cease now. But scripture says you should pray without what? So how is that fulfilled? Because that is how God wants it to. Abi? Am I the one saying it? So that is our teaser for today. So let's go and crack our brain so that we'll see from scripture how that is possible. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.